The reading can be found on page 1112 in the New Testament section of the Church Bible. It's Acts chapter 16, reading from verses 16 to 34. And the heading is Paul and Silas in prison. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of... She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Roman to accept or practice." The crowd joined the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone chained came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The gospel reading can be found on page 1085 in the Church Bibles, chapter 17, starting at verse 20. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Please do sit. May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At the beginning of the service, we sang, "As we are gathered, Jesus is here. One with each other, Jesus is here. Joined by the Spirit, washed in his blood, part of the body, the Church of God. As we are gathered, Jesus is here. One with each other, Jesus is here." Jesus knew the power of this kind of love. He knew that we need to be with other people and we need to share with one another and be in unity with one another. And he knew that this love that he gave to his disciples and that were handed down through the apostles and through time would in fact overcome hate, would withstand persecution, and would outshine the darkness of evil. Only love would give his followers the ability to transform the world. And it's often said through Acts and the epistles, the letters to the churches, that the world was turned upside down. So in our gospel reading, Sandra read from John, Jesus asked that the unity he experiences with the Father be extended to all who believe in him. He prays that they will be one with each other, with him, and with the Father. And Jesus prays not only for those who believe in him, but for all who will come to believe in him. And he prays that the love of the Father in him may also be in all believers, so that Jesus might be in them as well. Our first reading, which Louise read, talks about Paul and Silas and their companions when they were on a mission. Paul and Silas were drawn to the Roman colony of Philippi in Macedonia by a vision. And they came to Philippi as Paul's, what we call, second missionary journey, probably in AD 49-50, and they were accompanied by Silas and by Timothy and Luke. Philippi was this Roman colony in northern Greece. And the letter to the Philippians that we looked at a couple of Sundays ago, or maybe more than that, was written about 10 or so years after that, around AD 60. And that letter was written when Paul was imprisoned in Rome, at the end, really, of his missionary time. In the passage just before the one that Louise read, we read that Paul met a lady called Lydia at Philippi. It seems that there was no synagogue there because 10 men are required for that to happen. But there was a group of women meeting for prayer at the riverside, and Lydia was among them. She was a local businesswoman, a dealer in purple cloth, a very expensive cloth, and she travelled around selling her cloth. But she comes to faith through Paul's ministry, and it says that she was baptized together with her whole household. To come to today's reading, we hear about a slave girl who had the gift of second sight. And through this gift, she made money for her employers by telling fortunes. Now, we are told that it is not right for us to use horoscopes and those things, that we should trust Jesus Christ for the future. And it's made clear in this passage. And the girl met Paul and Silas on the street, and she shouted after them. She says, "They are servants of the Most High God, proclaiming the way of salvation," which was true. But he healed her of using this gift to make money as for the employers by telling fortunes. But then, of course, whenever people are doing things that make money for owners, we see it all the time with trafficking, with migration. People use people in the wrong way. And so the owners complain to the authorities because they have lost their livelihood, saying Paul and Silas were using customs that were unlawful. As a result of the slave girl's healing, Paul and his co-workers were dragged into the marketplace to face the authorities. These men are Jews, and they are throwing the city into uproar by advocating non-Roman customs. So Paul and Silas were charged with creating a public disturbance, backed by the comment they were Jews, so as to take account of the anti-Jewish feeling at the time. It would seem that Luke and Timothy escaped because they were non-Jewish, they were Gentiles. The magistrates ordered Paul and Silas to be stripped and beaten with rods and thrown into prison. Now, these beatings were horrendous, and people had massive injuries from these beatings, and some died from them. And despite all that, the authorities commanded the jailer not just to keep them in prison, keep them carefully, but put them in an inner cell and to fasten their feet in the stocks. Sure, all of you have seen the stocks, where often at events people throw things at people in the stocks, but imagine what that must have been like with all of their other injuries. And then, amazingly, at midnight, Silas and Paul, with all this injury and pain, are praising God. They are singing hymns. They didn't know that God would intervene to release them, but they still praised God. You see, God had delivered Peter, but Stephen and James were killed, were martyred for their faith. But they still sang. They sang because they were prisoners of Jesus Christ. They were doing what they had been called to do. They were not prisoners of Rome. They knew God had called them to Philippi for a reason. Just imagine if you were a prisoner in a cell, and instead of the usual ranting and raving and crying out, you hear singing and prayer. I'm sure that must have made a tremendous difference to how they felt. And then came God's power. Suddenly, there was an earthquake which shook the foundations of the jail. Prison doors flew open, and Paul's and Silas's chains came loose. The jailer considers throwing himself on his sword when he sees the doors are open, but he believes the prisoners have escaped. So Paul cries out, "Do not harm yourself, we are all here." Roman law would have required the jailer's life as a penalty for losing the prisoners who had been placed in his charge. So the jailer calls for lights and falls down. We sang, "Jesus is Lord," and we confess that he is Lord. And he just fell down before Paul and Silas. And the jailer brought them out. And his words are, "What must I do to be saved?" Amazing. And he's told these simple words, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." Paul and Silas then shared the word, and that was with the jailer and his household. The jailer believed, and he and his household were baptized after Paul and Silas's wounds and injuries were cared for. Then Paul and Silas joined with them in a celebratory meal. What joy! Think of your baptisms, maybe, of your first communions, all of those occasions, confirmations, whatever, where we have a meal, we celebrate, we join with each other in fellowship. This is the reading continues, and I just wanted to just finish that little passage with what we didn't read in the reading, but just to make clear that, of course, Paul was a Roman citizen, and he had received an illegal public beating and been thrown into a prison, which was not permissible for a Roman citizen. So when the authorities said to go, he said, "I want an apology and I want to be escorted out." And so that's what happened. And they left the city. Paul and Silas left the city and went on to the next ministry. So the experience of the earthquake opened the jailer's eyes to see his personal need of being saved. And very often God uses circumstances to speak to our hearts and to awaken us to the realization that we need to be saved. Perhaps your life has been shaken by some earthquake experience, like bereavement, sickness, being out of work. The Philippian jailer had to be brought to the point where the foundations of his life were shaken, like those of the prison he guarded. This is what it took to bring him to the place to become anxious, where he became anxious and cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul said something earlier in the notices about our prayer event, and it's amazing how God speaks in the readings that were set for the day. Of course, the Archbishop of York and Canterbury would have known that when they set up the prayer, that these were the days between the Ascension and to the Pentecost. So it's not any surprise, but it does speak to what we've been thinking about this morning. And when they announced, so they announced this prayer of evangelism, we could pray for evangelism. And I just want to encourage you, please, to think about what's on the notices, pray through it, and to actually think about being here. Now, I know for some, you won't be able to be here for various reasons. You might be on holiday, you might be away at work, you could be anywhere. But could you just give 1 hour to prayer wherever you are? It doesn't matter if you can't be here. But for those of us who can, and I would say there are probably 50 people that are actually able to come round here at some point over that time. There is a rotor at the back. There is somebody here covering anyway, but it would be really nice if we could see that more people come and more prayer. There is so much to pray for. Jodie wrote a letter, and I'll just remind, I'm not going to read the whole letter, but she says, as Christians, we believe that people are happiest and flourish the most when they know and follow Jesus Christ. Prayer is one of the most powerful ways for us to know that God's heart is for people. As we sit and meet with God in prayer and bring those we know and care about to mind, we will understand more and more how loved they are by God and come to know better how we might pray for them. We want to see people come to know Jesus, and to pray for them is the most important thing we can do for them. So we want to be able to deepen our relationship with Jesus in order to have confidence to share our faith. We want people to respond to the call of Jesus Christ and to follow him. And we are committed to evangelism. In this particular prayer event, we are committed to pray for our friends, our acquaintances, for the nation, and for the world. No lack of things then to occupy our time when we come, although there'll be things to encourage us in prayer. It's a vast, vast opportunity. And that's why it needs all of us to be part of it. We are to love one another, as we said right at the beginning, as we are gathered, Jesus is here, one with each other. And the reading from John picked that up. So we are to love one another, be at one with each other, as Jesus was with the Father, so that the world may believe. So may the Lord be with us and in us, so that we may serve our community, our families, our friends, our work colleagues. We know the gospel changes people's lives. We've seen that in this reading. We've seen it so many times over the times that I've been here. I'm sure you can all think of wonderful, wonderful turning to God. So our mission statement says this, and we affirm this afresh today. Jesus changes lives. Know him, follow him, share him. So, do we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we willing to pray for others? Are we willing to say something about what God has meant to us in our lives? The good news of Jesus transforms unbelievers into believers. It heals. It brings hope. It exorcises demons out of those who have been possessed. There is power in hearing the gospel proclaimed. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 14, we read, how can they call on him to save them? unless they believe in him. And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone else tells them? When I was preparing for today and I read once again these amazing stories, testimonies of Paul and Silas to Lydia, to the woman possessed with the spirit of prophecy, to the jailer and to his household, I am struck by their tenacity in their mission. The book of Acts and the letters to the churches tells of Christians that refuse to stop sharing the good news of Christ. Even when they suffered, even when it cost them their freedom, they refuse to stop, even when it cost them their lives. Then as now, people testify to the power of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, despite suffering, persecution, torture, and death. As we know, in our church, we support a number of areas which are not linked to at St. Michael's as such in our giving, and one is Open Doors. And recently we saw a video of Open Doors, and we know that through that ministry and other organizations, how so many are suffering throughout the world for their faith. But it's said that is how the church grows. And we do know the gospel changes lives. Now, most of us will not suffer as Paul and Silas suffered, as people have are in the world today and through the ages. But have we the tenacity to share the good news and to be faithful in prayer for people to come to faith?